It's just about the investigation and documentation of hazardous materials on board ships. But quite a few owners have successfully ignored it or simply were not aware of it. So I estimate that a quarter of them are not up to the mark or up to the legal requirements yet. Yeah, there are very severe fines and punishment possible, especially in EU ports, because the whole IHM requirement has been implemented only for EU ports and EU flagships.
Welcome to the Impacast, a show for maritime supply chain professionals who want to drive the industry forward the right way.
Hello and welcome to the Impacast. My name is Dominic Scott, but you can call me Dom. I'm the head of digital media and communications at Impa, and I am very pleased to be hosting this episode of our podcast. Today's theme is one that has been causing quite a stir in our industry since late last year and over the last few months. We at Impa have been exploring the subject in depth and looking at ways in which we can facilitate learning around it for all of our members and for the industry. You've likely got it from the title of this episode, but of course, today we are talking about IHM, the Inventory of Hazardous Materials. And I can't think of a better person to talk to about it than today's guest, Henning Grahmann. Henning is the Director of GSR Services and is an expert in IHM maintenance and ship recycling. Back in December of last year, he spoke at IMPA's member webinar on IHM and the then upcoming regulations set for 2021. And more recently, he presented a two-day workshop on IHM maintenance, which was hosted by IMPA. So, let's get into it.
Henning, hello, how are you?
Hi, Dom, I'm pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. No, we're really looking forward to this episode. So I think before we get into it, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. Basically, I'm an environmental engineer and working in the maritime environmental protection since 21 years now, so since the year 2000. I started at a small institute in Bremen, and then I was a seafarer, or basically an environmental officer on board a cruise vessel for 2 years. And back in 2005, I joined Germanischer Lloyd, where I was the head of department ship recycling. And at that time, it was a great advantage, basically. At IMO, the Hong Kong Convention was under development. And working for Germanischer Lloyd gave me the opportunity to do a lot of research and development in parallel to actively participating in the developments at IMO. So since 2000, I did that until the end of 2010. And in 2011, I started with my own company, Green Ship Recycling Services, or GSR. And we keep focusing on the IHM maintenance and development of ship recycling facilities. So it was a great time and great learning experience we had, or I had, at the IMO and with Germanischer Lloyd. And all this knowledge is now transferred into my company. And so far, we have prepared around 500 IHMs for existing ships. We have supported 40 ship recycling facilities, mainly in India, for coming up to the standards of the Hong Kong Convention. And of course, also considering the EU ship recycling regulation. So since then, we are really involved from cradle to grave of ships.
I mean, that's quite some experience that you can say you've got there, which is excellent. Okay, so IHM, it's a subject that has very much gripped the industry over the last few months. Here at IMPA, of course, we've been working to explore exactly what it means for ship owners and ship suppliers. But what exactly are we talking about, Henning, when we hear IHM?
That's quite simple. It's just about the investigation and documentation of hazardous materials on board ships. But primarily, we look into such hazardous materials in structure and equipment of ships. So This documentation is developed for existing ships primarily based on sampling and inspection by so-called IHM experts. And since end of 2020, this is mandatory for all EU flagged ships and all ships visiting an EU port. For new builds, the development of IHM is to be done in a completely different way, meaning via the documentation from suppliers of products which belong to structure and equipment of ships. And the same approach also applies to IHM maintenance. So it is again a cradle to grave approach from the legislators and also what we can find in various other industries as well. But now it has come to the maritime industry and, of course, provides quite a few new challenges.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, as you just mentioned there, the deadline was the close of 2020, so as of 31st of December. So I guess we should expect by now, at the time of recording this podcast, being nearly in March of 2021, that almost everyone is following the rules here. Is that right?
That would be great. So, really, my estimate is that around a quarter of the ships, so we basically talk about 30 to 35,000 ships, which are affected by this EU regulation. But quite a few owners have successfully ignored it or simply were not aware of it. So I estimate that a quarter of them are not up to the mark or up to the legal requirements yet. So, and of course, when talking with you, with IMPA, we have a focus on the suppliers, which means for the suppliers, they are also approached quite late, but they need some time for getting prepared as well. So what I see is it's an extremely challenging time now for the suppliers to handle all these requests which are now coming in. But we will see more and more requests coming to the suppliers in the very near future, because most ship owners were focusing on getting an IHM developed and then certified. And quite a few of those wake up now and realize that they now have to take care of the IHM maintenance. So they look around for some solutions. Either they will take care of the IHM maintenance by themselves, or they will make use of service suppliers. But what I see in the market today is that a lot remains to be done. And there are some typical mistakes by all sides, by all those involved, which really creates big trouble. When I look to the ship owners, for instance, one of the most crucial aspects is that they are not selecting the relevant order items. We talk about structure and equipment of ships, and there are quite a few other exemptions from that scope. But many ship owners or their service suppliers today request these documents from suppliers for all different orders, which means the suppliers are receiving far too many requests these days, and they can't efficiently manage all these material declaration requests they get today. So, or another big mistake which we see is that owners require order-specific documents or ship-specific documents, which is not required at all. So a lot of confusion is created by this. And of course, the suppliers are struggling quite heavily with that.
Absolutely. So yeah, that is startling to hear that you think such a large percentage out there aren't yet compliant with everything. So, I mean, you've obviously touched on why that might be a little bit there, but why else do you think this is, that we're still having these issues?
I think we see a wide lack of understanding or knowledge. The issue is this, what I call material compliance or material compliance exchange, is new to the maritime industry. And we need to consider that the IHM, the Inventory of Hazardous Materials, is nothing what ship owners were looking for. It's just an additional burden for quite a few of them. And now realizing that they have to maintain it, day in and day out is not really an attractive challenge. So that means they are not so keen to look into the details, understand all the different aspects, and then to develop an efficient approach. So at the moment, it's just an additional workload, and they are not really looking into it in a sophisticated manner, and they just try to deal with that as conveniently as possible. But that does not mean that it is an efficient approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly quite the minefield then, isn't it? So at IMPA, we've been working very closely with yourself, GSR Services, over the last months to aid our members and the industry to become a little bit better equipped to deal with IHM. Of course, in December of last year, we hosted a webinar aimed at arming our members with some of the tools and understanding needed heading into this year. You kindly spoke at that. Much more recently, you hosted a two-day workshop with us where you broke down IHM maintenance in great detail. So apart from our work together, how else can the people who are looking for info on this, who are perhaps listening to this, they've just heard you say why the reason of non-compliance may be ticking the box that they're dealing with right now. So how else can people right now get involved in this properly and find something or someone to help them out, Henning?
Yeah. Well, basically, it's the selection of, let's say, service supplies, which are often used for these tasks, should be done with due diligence. So not all what comes up and seems to be a convenient and, let's say, cheap solution is the best solution in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So looking what we are doing, we try to support the industry as good as possible. And we try to guide them towards an efficient fulfillment of these new requirements. And we have a clear focus on the quality and compliance because we believe that that's the only option for minimizing the risk. I'm sure we will talk about the associated risk in a few minutes, but it is not to be underestimated, the liabilities and the risks involved for all, from the suppliers to the ship owners and finally to the ship recyclers. I already started back in 2007 to look at this compliance data exchange. These exchange mechanisms have been developed by other industries since many, many years. And we adopted them to the maritime industry, to the specific needs. So also, as I said in the beginning, my time when I was working at the IMO for developing the Hong Kong Convention, and the same applies to the EU Ship Recycling Regulation and the IHM guideline in particular, has helped me a lot to really understand the different challenges for the different key players. So finally, looking beyond the boundaries of the maritime industry into the automotive industry, for instance, or electronics industry, and then figuring out how they work through this compliance data exchange can really or means a lesson learned for us. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to modify the different procedures. And this is what we have done. So only with that, I think a proper and efficient system can be implemented. So we are more than happy to share this information, our experience in this particular field, which is not the core business of the maritime industry. And by sharing knowledge, the ideas and the basics, we hope that we can come up with proper solutions for the maritime industry, because it is not like one size fits all. We have a team of 11 professional engineers working full time just for this. And it's nothing which can be done quickly or can be learned quickly. it really needs some detailed and in-depth knowledge to really be applied in an efficient way.
Are you enjoying the podcast? Make sure the dialogue doesn't end here. Head over to the IMPA blog for a lengthier discussion on green procurement and supply chain management. IMPAblog.com, the original home for the latest maritime procurement news, groundbreaking insights and critical thinking.
Some true care and consideration. It's not something that we can sweep under the carpet, so to speak, is it? Of course, at IMPA, we will continue our work on the IHM, and we'll continue to do our best to present how the industry is handling it throughout all of our channels. So it's worth keeping in touch with what we're doing there as well. Okay, Henning, so let's get to the brunt of it. We're starting to understand this a little bit clearer now, thanks to yourself. So what can operators who are non-compliant with IHM expect in results of in terms of the results of that? Is there going to be fines? What sort of punishments here?
Yeah, there are very severe fines and punishment possible, especially in EU ports, because the whole IHM requirement has been implemented only for EU ports and EU flagships. What we have to consider is, first of all, whoever writes anything down and signs it can and will be held liable for this. So this material compliance aspect is new to the maritime industry and heavily underestimated. So what we see at the moment, besides the normal, let's say, technical documentation, is now an extension into the material data. So that really creates a lot of challenges for the ship owners as well as the suppliers, and in between also the shipyards, which are building vessels, for instance. They are sitting between the suppliers who have to provide data. They have to process the data in a ship-specific manner to deliver a ship-specific inventory of hazardous materials to the owners. By doing so, they're not only creating a chain of information, in the other direction, they are creating a chain of liability. Nobody in between is obliged to check whether or not the data he receives from his supplier is accurate. So it's taken for granted, and it's further transferred into ship-specific documents. That's applying for the new ships, the ships under construction, but also for IHM maintenance. If the suppliers are not performing, or they ask for extra money for providing the equipment-specific data, we have seen that first ship owners have dismissed these suppliers and say, okay, we are not going to buy from you anymore. We will go to one of your competitors. So this compliance data exchange is not only creating costs and efforts, it's also becoming an issue for the competitiveness.
Right.
So, and I think this is very important to understand. So ship owners themselves also face severe punishment. In some European countries, they can go to prison for 2 years or have to pay a huge financial fine. So they have a lot of pressure, and they have to put this pressure onto their suppliers, because if the suppliers are not performing, they can't perform, and then they face these huge risks. So therefore, suppliers, if they want to provide a good service to their customers, have to get prepared as soon as possible.
Yeah, you're right. It's quite severe. And I mean, expectedly so. This is something that does need to be taken seriously. Hope everyone's listening out there who's still feeling like they're not quite compliant here. So, okay, let's try and shift into a slightly nicer sounding, happier sounding gear. So when do we see the light at the end of the tunnel for those that are not yet handling their maintenance properly on this? When will our whole industry be operating as we should with this, Henning?
Oh, that's like looking at a big glass ball. It's not so easy. So, because what we see is that it's a quite new aspect, but it's overdue that ship owners start requesting material declarations and suppliers declaration of conformity for relevant deliveries. So, as explained earlier, a lot of ship owners now just start to realize that they are relying on these documents from their supply chains. So, on the other side, suppliers are middlemen. They're not necessarily manufacturers, and they have their own supply chain, and they are relying on the same information from their own suppliers. So, which means if their suppliers are not responsive, they are struggling to provide the data which they are requested to provide to the owners. So it's a chain, and therefore it is extremely difficult to say when will the industry be compliant. So we have a lot of experience in that. We are carrying out IHM maintenance for various ships. We help suppliers in taking care of the MD management. And what we have figured out is by being very cooperative and providing a lot of support to the suppliers, that results in a higher return ratio and in a better document quality. At the moment, we are achieving roughly 80% coverage, but it's very time consuming. And anybody expecting 100% coverage is dreaming, at least today. So in future, maybe we will reach, let's say, close to 100%. But these days, that's not possible. So what can we done with this gap, let's say, with the remaining 20%? We have done more than 500 IHMs based on inspection and sampling. And we know what are the critical materials, where may we find any of the relevant hazardous materials. So for this gap, we can carry out a risk assessment. How likely is it that something is in there? And then we can follow up on that. And for instance, take a sample, get it to a specifically accredited laboratory and generate the information which we need to have by alternative methods. That's only the only option we have today. But of course, it's more time consuming and it's more costly. And we need to take this individual approach, otherwise we will never succeed. But this is to be decided upon on a case-by-case basis. The general process should look for convenient solutions to share information, to generate the information, and to transfer it into own forms for providing them to their own customers. So considering all of that, it is essential to have knowledgeable people involved, and they need some time for taking care of the suppliers and for providing the guidance they are looking for. So when we look into the confusing requests with today, like ship-specific or order-specific documents, which is complete nonsense, this is creating additional workload for suppliers. It's creating too much confusion. And now we are at a point of time where we can set proper standards and where we can generate a nice level playing field so that everyone is facing the same efforts and challenges, but we can easily overcome them. But less knowledgeable people try to get into this market, provide some sort of service, but they stir it up and they create too much confusion, which is quite alarming in some cases. So, and it's very important, and this is why I like this podcast of IMPA so much. We have to spread the word, and we have to make sure that everybody has some common knowledge so that we can go into the right direction without too much confusion.
Absolutely. So that's quite clear. Yeah, I mean, we can't expect a perfect 100% tick box for everybody, but there are ways you can be on the right side of that, though, aren't there? You know, there's clear ways in which we can help ourselves here with this. So yes, that's what we're trying to do here, is just raise help and raise some awareness of this. And as we've said before, we'll carry on doing this as IMPA, and with this fantastic partnership with Henning and GSR Services for the foreseeable future. Which actually leads me on to something else quite nice here. So as we do round up this this nice session, I would like to briefly mention some of the behind the scenes work IMPA and yourself, Henning, and GSR Services are doing right now. So let's talk about the Marine Stores Guide. Many of our listeners will likely know about the Marine Stores Guide, the MSG. That's our 6-digit referencing system, and we have over 50,000 ship stores in there. It's used widely around the world in our industry, and we have been looking at ways in which we could potentially aid our MSG users in identifying hazardous items that would need declaring, and so on and so forth. We would be doing this through our Marine Stores Guide online service, where users can browse the entire MSG catalogue. And how we would do it is by accessing your data at GSR. Henning, could you let our listeners know a little bit about how the GSR data on the subject of IHM and the MSG collaboration here would work?
Oh, yes, sure. So basically, we talk about big data, and maintenance is to be done over decades, over the coming decades. It's something which will last and which will stay. So 4 years ago already, we started talking to a company called Nautilus Log, which is a software company for technical documentation, amongst other things. So, and we have teamed up at that time to develop a very efficient tool for documenting the initial inspection and sample taking on board existing ships. And soon after we started this development and applied it, we figured out, okay, we need to have something equally convenient for IHM maintenance and also for this compliance data exchange within the maritime supply chains. So at that time, we started developing a specific tool for accommodating the communication streams, for following up on documentation and having it in an automated way as much as possible. And what we have done, we have basically combined our expertise with the software tool, which also provides some artificial intelligence and an automation of the rules we are creating just by using the software tool. And the whole communication, control of communication, back and forth with suppliers, with sub-suppliers, is all done via this tool in a very transparent way. And we can, of course, archive all the different documents which we are managing over this tool. So it's a very sophisticated solution for maritime suppliers as well, as like for ship owners taking care of the IHM maintenance. Now we have come to a stage where we talk about how can IMPA, GSR, and Nautilus Log join hands best and identify the relevant products as a starting point for the suppliers to follow up on. Mm-hmm. So this is what we have discussed at length and where we have come a long way already. So, and just this step will reduce the workload for the suppliers. As I said a little bit earlier, there are a lot of requests coming in from ship owners or service suppliers to the suppliers of spare parts, materials, and products. Quite a few of them are not justified. By setting a standard where we can, via the MSG guide, provide clear information on which item is relevant for IHM maintenance by owners, and therefore the successive documentation by suppliers, I think, is a first and very important step to create a proper standard. And with that, we avoid unjustified requests, and we can heavily reduce the time and efforts by suppliers to deal with unnecessary requests so that they can focus on what is really required from them. Finally, the knowledge and information which is already available in our system by working with that system since quite some time and pairing it with the MSG of IMPA, we can really provide added value. And the system keeps learning, which means the latest up-to-date information by connecting both software tools or systems really ensures that it will become more and more efficient in the future.
It's very exciting stuff for us, and we're certainly in the early stages of exactly how we're finalizing implementing this and how it will look to our MSG users. But as you said, Henning, we are making swift progress, and we are very much looking forward at making this available to the industry as soon as possible. That's for sure. Okay, so finally, Henning. I believe we are set to end our discussion shortly. But do you have any final comments or anything else that maybe I haven't touched on before we end our chat today?
Yeah, no, nothing really to add here. All what I want to say is that I really believe that by connecting both systems, we can provide an ideal solution for your suppliers. And we can also provide further guidance at a fingertip of the users, which can go further, like a full backup from GSR for all IMPA members, so that we offer to take care of the whole material compliance data exchange for suppliers. We are also always happy to provide clear guidance to help them. We have what we call a first aid service where we review the requests received from ship owners, whether or not they are justified, just to stop the additional workload to be followed up by suppliers and basically ending up in a waste of time. So we need to ensure a selective approach. We are happy to share our knowledge and to support an efficient processing throughout the maritime supply chain. So that's one of the keys we are following up on since many, many years. So, and we want to make sure that compliance with the IHM requirements now from the EU ship recycling regulation in the near future under internationally under the Hong Kong Convention of IMO, by helping that we can jointly manage the challenges. And we can ensure proper compliance in a very efficient way from cradle to grave of ships.
That's fantastic. Really is. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's a lovely way to draw close to our chat today. I think all that's left to say is, of course, backing up what Henning's just said. Here at IMPA, we are doing what we can continually to explore the very deep waters of the subject of IHM and bringing as much into light through discussions such as this, our webinars, the fantastic workshops that Henning recently ran for us, and through articles in our Marine Trader Journal and on the IMPA blog. Henning has kindly given a great article on the subject, which will be in our next issue of MT, Marine Trader, and on our blog. And of course, all of the work that we're doing together on the Marine Stores Guide. I mean, Henning and GSR are fantastic. Henning, as you can tell from this chat, is a very lovely man. He's a friendly chap and hugely knowledgeable. So for IMPA, this partnership is fantastic. You're a real asset, Henning. So I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for your time today, Henning. And perhaps a few months down the line from today, as I say, this is recording as of March in 2021. Perhaps in a few months down the line, we'll be having another discussion like this to see where we're at again, and perhaps really scrambling to help those that are that are still not quite hitting the mark.
Yeah, that would be really great. So thank you very much, Dom. It was really a big pleasure for me. I really enjoy talking about that and sharing the knowledge and trying to help the industry to implement the requirements as efficiently as possible. So I'm really looking forward to extensifying the work with IMPA to have a good exchange with you, with all your members. So yes, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. And I keep my fingers crossed for all of us that it can be done quickly and without too many hiccups. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Henning. The pleasure's all mine, and great words to end it on there. So I think without further ado, we'll say thanks for listening in to this episode of the Impacast, and we will see you all again soon.
Join us on the next Impacast, where I'm delighted to announce a very special episode celebrating International Women's Day, and particularly some of the standout women in our industry. The episode will be hosted by our own Jasmine Shestack and will be live on International Women's Day, March the 8th. Until next time, thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you again.